Okay, so we're going to get started here. My colleague, Judge McClure, is going to talk. I could say a million things about him, but in order to keep us on time, I won't. But he's just a great light to the court. I'm so glad to have him on the court. It's really an honor to work with him. He is certainly such a gregarious gadfly. He brings everyone together. It's just great to be around. And he's super smart. And he, issues a lot of really good opinions. So what more can I say? He's going to talk to you about defensive instructions. So without any further ado, Judge McClure. I always think of The Simpsons. J.J. McClure. Here we go.
All right. Well, to the extent that Houston has a winter, sometimes I'll be watching TV in January or February, and CBS will start advertising the Masters. And if you're into golf, you'll hear the music, and they'll show the azaleas, and they'll say it's a tradition like no other. And apparently, the Dawson Conference is a tradition like no other in my life, because every time I come to speak at the Dawson Conference, it means that my clerk is leaving me. And so last year, it was Jackie Brown, shooter, who is now at the Travis County DA's office. This year, it's my clerk, Elise Villiers, and she did more work than I can possibly thank her for on this presentation. So if you think it was worthwhile, go give her a pat. And if you think it was terrible, then you can blame her. So I tried to think of a catchy intro. Last year I talked about judo when we were talking about Brady and about fighting on your back. This year I couldn't decide my intros, so I'm split between two, although you will probably hear a judo reference again. So when we talk about instructions, jury instructions, I always think of charge conferences, and I think of when I was a prosecutor in a charge conference, and the judge would inevitably go off the record, and we'd talk about the charge, and then just as inevitably, when we went back on the record, people forgot all the things, all the genius things they said off the record, and then it didn't make it to the record. So if you don't remember anything I say today, if you have brilliant thoughts off the record, please translate to those brilliant thoughts on the record, and you'll see why in a few cases. A couple things I want to say again before we get going. One of my good friends, who's a former judge, district judge, and is now a defense lawyer, says she'll say if she has a case where she's like, I don't really have a good chance here, she'll say, I'm just hoping the state fumbles the ball. And this is a place, jury instructions are a place where the state can fumble the ball. The other analogy I have is, if you've had small kids, or if you can recall being a small kid playing the game, the floor is lava. And I remember during the pandemic when we didn't have sports, I was so desperate to watch sports that on ESPN, the Ocho, they showed the floor is lava. And my daughter and I actually watched the floor is lava. Well, the floor is lava and when you talk about jury charges, the floor can be lava. So just be very careful. Obviously, the disclaimers, I'm not speaking for the court. I'm not predicting where we're going. There's obviously a paper, and you can read the paper in depth. I think my advice to you during my presentation is just kind of the underlying words are supposed to be, the guidelines. And so just let the rest of it wash over you. Let it be like a good, a good soap in the shower where 5 hours later you can still smell a whiff of it. That's sort of the approach I think you should take to my presentation. So we're going to talk about lesser included offenses first. Again, it's a two-step inquiry, as you all know. I'll have some case illustrations. We'll talk about self-defense, and then we'll talk about some miscellaneous other instructions. So less included offenses in Article 37 of the Code of Criminal Procedure. You know all these things, but it's a good reminder. One of the things that stands out to me when I think about less included offenses is I think about being a prosecutor, and you're trying to negotiate your way out of a hairy case, and sometimes you would come up with an agreement with the defense to have the defendant plead to something that's not a lesser included. And so some judges wouldn't care if you didn't amend the indictment, wouldn't care if you put like count two and then created a new, wrote the new offense, because it's technically not a lesser included offense, so technically they're not on notice for all the conduct. And some judges really cared about that. And some judges would say, well, Mr. McClure, you need to go and amend the indictment. And some judges would be like, look, it's almost lunchtime. I don't care. We'll just plead them. And the reason why I bring this up is, you can kind of be in two modes. Maybe it's the Friday before trial, and you're thinking about pleading somebody to an offense that's not strictly a lesser included offense. And let's say the negotiations fall through. But don't forget that the next week, if you're in trial, all of a sudden that offense you maybe were tempted to plead the guy to, or were talking about pleading the guy to, that's not going to be available as a crime that a jury can consider. So again, we're going to talk about what the requisites are of a lesser included offense. So